From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Today, the House Tech Committee is holding a hearing on Capitol Hill about how to protect key assets like voting machines from hacking during the election cycle. Matt Blaze is professor of computer and information science at the University of Pennsylvania, and he has looked at this stuff before. Matt, I'm guessing the key words here will be not hardware hacking, but software hacking?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. One of the problems with electronic voting systems is they're really computerized voting systems. And computers have at their core complex software. And unfortunately, we in computer science don't know how, in general, to build highly reliable, complex software systems.
Are these systems, or should they be, networked?
In general, the voting machines themselves aren't networked on the internet. Instead, the way they're set up is generally by removable memory cards, the same sorts of things you might put in your digital camera. But the back-end systems sometimes are connected to the internet.
And that's maybe where a hack would happen.
That's one of the places that a hack might happen. Another place that a hack might happen is the voting machines themselves are exposed to many different people. And somebody might be able to get access to the programming interface while they're interacting with the machine and load new software into it.
How worried should we really be about this?
Well, it's hard to say. If there are ways that somebody might want to affect the outcome of an election that don't necessarily require them to select the winner. For example, someone who might be satisfied just casting doubt on the outcome could do things so that after the election, we just don't trust the results. And certainly, you know, if you think of a nation-state adversary, you know, somebody that wants to, you know, disrupt the United States, that starts to look like more and more of a plausible threat.
Matt Blaze, professor of computer and information science at the University of Pennsylvania. Matt, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
A film or TV show soundtrack often becomes an ode to the era in which it was made. For your consideration, John Carpenter's theme from the dystopian 1981 movie Escape from New York. So 80s, right? But what about when a soundtrack is written for a period piece after the fact? Do you know this show and what era it represents? If you guessed sci-fi thriller Stranger Things, set in the 1980s but from Netflix right now, you win. Created by the Duffer Brothers, the show and the soundtrack have been hits this summer, both for Netflix and the Austin, Texas band Survive, half of whom composed this theme and a bunch of the music in season one. Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein of Survive, thanks for chatting.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Tell me about composing the theme. What did you guys do?
Well,
lit some candles.
You can't play a synthesizer without a candle lit. It started from a pretty rough demo that was kind of, you know, the main sequence and some chords. And that was pretty much it. And they were like, what if this was the theme? Like, and so we basically took that and hooked it up to just about every synth in the studio.
How many is that?
I think that track has about 40 different instruments on it.
Is there a particular moment that comes from a particular synth that you guys were super psyched with? Were you like, oh yeah, the Bleep Labs thing, or I don't know, the Moog, whatever, the Rogue Moog, or I don't
Labs.
Know, you know?
Nice.
What's up, John Mike?
We didn't use any Bleep Labs, unfortunately. I can't say that. We did use a lot of the Prophet 6, a new analog, kind of an update on the Prophet 5, which was a very popular synth in the early 80s, used by bands like Yellow Magic Orchestra, John Carpenter, a studio piece that many people had.
Is there a scene or an episode that you felt like you really nailed it?
Well, it was one of the scenes that took a very long time to get right, to get everyone on board with, is the very first cue, which is called Kids. it's the first time you hear any music in the show, and because of that, they had us try many, many different things for that. I'm pretty happy with the way that turned out.
What about you, Michael?
I guess it'd be maybe one of the moments where you do more live score to picture and just really see it click. Like the Nancy and Steve kiss. The mood's kind of... it's not happy and it's not sad, but it's this weird middle mood, and then it's got this embellished kiss part.
Are you guys sci-fi fans?
Yeah, if it's good.
I'm definitely a sci-fi fan.
I'm a fan of good things.
We kind of, like, people would ask us what kind of music our band was, and we just kind of started telling them sci-fi.
It's a sci-fi band.
Because we didn't really know how to describe it.
Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein are from the Austin band Survive and soundtracked the show Stranger Things. Kyle, Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you.
By the way, yes, you can get the soundtrack to the show on vinyl. Survive has a new album as well coming out soon and is headed out on their first headlining tour this fall. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.